The reading this morning is from the book of Malachi, chapter 3, verse 10. Bring the whole tenth part to the storage house, so there might be food in my house. Please test me in this, says the Lord of heavenly forces. See whether I do not open all the windows of the heavens for you and empty out a blessing until there is enough.
Alrighty. Typically, as I shared earlier, this text is about tithing. Dum, dum, dum. And tithing is one of them things that no one really wants to talk about. You know, because immediately when you mention the word tithing, people go, I give, and oh, look, there's a wood ceiling. There's carpet. Look at that. Is he done yet? Is he done talking about money? And, you know, as preachers, you really hate to talk about money because people automatically say, well, we pay you. Well, yeah. But you like the lights on, don't you? We've got to have that. We got to have things fixed. You know, Edie pointed out to me yesterday the vacuum cleaner broke. Well, we got to fix the vacuum cleaner. So we got to ask for money somewhere along the way. But this is not a money sermon. So you can sit back and relax and realize that we have a wood ceiling, carpet, and I'm not going to ask for money. I'm going to read this to you, though. It says, Zechariah 1:3 says, but you must say to the people, the Lord of heavenly forces proclaims, return to me, says the Lord of heavenly forces, and I will return to you, says the Lord of heavenly forces. Now, when I first read that, I thought, oh, did I type that wrong? So I went back because I've been known kind of like our last song where the screen was kind of one color and the lyrics was a whole nother color. And Dave and I stand up here. I've got perfect vision now. And I couldn't read that. And Dave had the songbook out there and he was holding it in front of me. And, well, between the two of us, we skinned a cat pretty bad up there in the corner because we couldn't find where we were at. So as I'm transposing things and I'm typing every now and again, I write the heavenly forces, and you know, I look at the screen and I look back and then, no, it says heavenly forces. And then I type again and it says heavenly forces again. So it's talking about the force of water. Have you ever thought about that? How much force is behind water? It's powerful. It's really powerful. In my home community, there's a place that some of you might have been throughout your lives called Angel Mounds. Angel Mounds is an Indian burial ground that the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers made a huge mistake. They built a dam right there on the Ohio River. And people have been up in arms ever since because you built it on a cemetery. As a child, we used to go to Angel Mounds and we would hunt for Indian arrowheads. You know, that was a fun thing to do. But I would watch them work those floodgates. And it was amazing. You know, we're standing there and we're watching this pristine water lay there until the guy opened up the gates. And when he opened up the gates, you didn't want to be on the other side. Because the force that come out of there, it was so powerful that you couldn't stand up. If you was in a boat, well, you was going across the water pretty quick. Anything there was churned in because there was just such a rush coming out of there. Well, today we're talking about the floodgates opening up. But we have to look where we can find the floodgates opening in our lives. Now, this is kind of interesting text. God says, return to God. Return to God. And you automatically go, but I work so hard for it. It's mine. I should decide how much I give away. How much is mine to keep? No one needs to tell me I give a tenth. But a tenth is just so powerful. A tenth is just a small thing. Dale can probably break it down a whole lot better than I can because I'm not a mathematician. A tenth, that's pretty small, right, Dale? A tenth, that's small. But if you give a tenth, you see a little of the floodgate open. If you give it all, you watch the floodgates really open. I can speak personally. I know of a situation with a family member of mine, that they had left church forever, completely walked away from God. They hated God. They despised God. They despised anything anyone talked about God. And they fell on hard times, real, real hard times. He was injured in an accident at work, was put on disability. She lost her job completely. And the family was living on less than $300 a month. That's what they had. Now, somewhere along the way, they applied for aid from the government. And they were denied because they made too much money the year before. Part of that loophole thing where you fall short. And they were on desperate times. So what happens with desperate people? We found out on 9/11 what happens with desperate people. America was under attack in 9/11, 2001. And the next Sunday, I was working in ministry. We had to set up additional chairs in church because we didn't have enough places for people to sit. 2 months later, well, put away the chairs. We were back to being empty. Desperate times, people do desperate things and they cry out to God. And this family member of mine, she cried out to God. And she started attending church. And she was sitting there at church, and it went by for 3 weeks that the offering plate was passed by her. And like many of us have experienced in our own lives, when that plate comes by, you feel guilty because you can't put something in there. And a friend of mine, I was just recently at his church down in Rantoul, they have cards like this that are laminated that look like money. And it's, "I pledge to remember to send you a check because I forgot my checkbook." Because they got the feeling that too many people was looking at them not put something in the offering basket. So they came up with a way so people could feel good about themselves. But my family member was at this church, and they were having problems. And as the offering plate came around, she had heard the text early on in life that if you give all to God, the blessings will be in abundance. The blessings will be in an abundance. As the offering plate came by her, she was sitting there thinking about, okay, my children are hungry because she has 3 kids. Our electric bill is way past due. Our car has been repossessed. We have more foreclosure notices and delinquent notices laying on our table at home than we know what to do with. And as that offering plate arrived in front of her, she reached in her purse and she took every dime she had. And she said, "God, you said, test me. Well, I'm testing you now." And she laid not just the money in there, but her whole wallet. And she tested God. She gave up everything she had. The plate went around. Now, those of you who have served as ushers before, you automatically get that look on your face like, what is that? Somebody gave their wallet, but they didn't even question it. They carried it to the altar. They set it on the altar. My family member, when she got home that night, that afternoon, right after church, sitting on her back porch was 4 huge boxes of groceries. 4 huge boxes of groceries for her. No one knows where they came from. No one from the church knew that they were on hard times. Too much pride to let people know things were tough on them. The next day, she gets a letter that said her mortgage had been settled. She was no longer delinquent. It was brought up current for her. She called the power company because she wanted to work out a deal with the power company so she could keep the lights on. And they told her, "You don't owe us any money. It's been paid." Here's a person who walked away from God, despised God, completely ridiculed God, and God blessed her. He opened the floodgates and poured it out to her. gave it to her in more than she could ever handle. And I want you to think of that about this. Have we ever as Christians ever thought about that we rob from God? That we steal from God? That we take the glory from God when He wants to bless us with an abundance? God wants to give us so much. He wants to pour out things for us. I mean, let's look at it. What did He do to Moses? Moses was in desperate times and he said, God, we can't make it across the water. And God said, trust me, Moses. Trust me. Moses poured out everything he had. He put trust in God. The enemy was at the gate. They were barreling down on him. And God said, put your staff in the water, Moses. The water stopped. He walked across. Think about that. It's not just finances, folks. God pours out abundance to us in every way we could possibly have. We had a true display yesterday of a young man who's injured. Angie shared with me, he stood up and you watched his arm drop. That's severe injury. To think, God hears the prayers, the cries in the night, and He pours out the floodgates in the form of, she shared, the anesthesiologist was at home. He had just serviced his tractors and everything else and was covered in grease and everything else. And he made it there before Lucas. That's God, folks. That's God pouring out the floodgates. He's opened them up for us. And we rob from God. There's times in our life that we don't want to give God everything He asked for. God asked for us to be heartfelt in our worship. He asked for us to pour out our hearts to Him, because you know what? God loves when we come into church, when we come into His house, in His house, where we can stand back and we can see screens that we can't read very well, and we can grab that hymnal because God blessed us in abundance years ago and we purchased those hymnals and we could pick them up and we could sing from them. He doesn't ask for it to be good. He asks for it to be excellent. You can't sing, so what? But be excellent in worship to God. Because you know what? The God that we all serve, He sees everything we do. He knows all of our talents, all our gifts and our graces. He has served us with an abundance. So you can't sing. Who cares? Dave can attest, he was standing up there next to me. I can't sing a note. Not a bit. He knows that Mark can't prepare breakfast casserole and be here on time, and we all went hungry today. He knows that. I told you I'd work it in, Mark. You're welcome. As we look at those things, when we cut God short, we rob from God. Because if we place our faith in God that He sees everything we do, He created us from dust. He knows everything about us. He knows when you're skimming. He knows when you're holding back. He knows when you come into worship and you're worried about what's going to go on later, that you're going to go watch the Bears get beat by the Packers later. And He knows those things. I worked that in for you too, Ed. He knows these things because that's our God. God has a plan, folks. And I wanted to share with you just a couple of other things to make you really think about the floodgates of God. Let me find it. These texts. God opened the floodgates for Joshua. Remember that? When he was running from the armies? God opened up the floodgates and he stopped the Jordan River. Completely stopped it, and Joshua and his men were survived. They survived the battle as the waters came down and wiped out their enemies. God opened those floodgates. God opened the gates for Gideon and his armies. Remember that from the Old Testament. Floodgates opening, God blessing. God opened the floodgates and the walls fell that separate us. God opened the floodgates that separates us from Him. He's given us an abundance. We can all step back and we can look at our families and say, those are our beautiful children. They're not ours, they're his. We can look at our beautiful homes and say, this is what I did, but because you did it, because God supplied it. I'm driving this fancy car because it's not what you did, it's because God supplied it. But in that same tune, when you're at desperate times and things are at their bleakest and you can't really grasp a hold of anything, realize that if you give back, you will receive. If you give back, you will receive. My family member that poured out everything that she had, the family's been blessed beyond abundance. Now the entire family works in the church. The entire family reminds people that when they were hungry and they had a choice between ramen noodles or macaroni and cheese. And when I say that, many of you who've been through college know, you know, you have the ramen noodles and you save the flavor packet and you mix that up in hot water later and you have soup. That's how bad things were. To think you can go home that night and sit down at a meal, enjoying the protection, or watch your sixth grade son celebrate his pink cast. That's God. Floodgates are opening. We just have to surrender. Please stand and join us in our closing song. Heavenly Father, as we stand idly by waiting for those floodgates to open, Lord, I ask you to come upon our hearts. Help us to realize, Lord, that we've got to give that tenth, that we've got to give everything, not just finances, but our whole selves to you, Lord, so that you can bless us in abundance because you have the storehouses filled. In your son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.